Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Now, if you would take those very same Bibles and you would turn with me to Romans 11:16. We are beginning a series this week, and I can probably tell you now, today's message is going to be continued next week, because we're not going to get through it today. So we are going to begin a series called The Giving Blessing. Now we'll probably take a two-week break from that series for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but then we will continue it. One of the things that God's been speaking to us about is His blessing. And His blessing is completely wrapped up in our hearts. When we talk about the altar of God, you go to the altar and you give something of you. Something that matters, not your leftovers. Things that matter. Because when you do that, God reciprocates it with things that matter to Him. And we're going to get a little more into that. Today, we're going to talk about first fruits. About a year and a half ago, I gave a series like this about tithing, first fruits, offerings. We're going to take it a little step further this year because we've all grown. I've grown, learned some new things myself that I'm sharing. And as I always share with you, anything I share from the pulpit is not to preach at you, but is sharing what God is showing me. That's all it is. We're learning and growing together. Romans 11:16 says this, "For if the first fruits is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches." You don't have to be a brain surgeon to know what this is simply saying. If the beginning of something, the essence of something, the core of something is right, everything else is going to kind of fall into place. Okay? If the roots are bad on a tree, the tree is going to be bad. If something, the ground you build a house on, is poor, the house is not going to be very sturdy. So what's the foundation of everything? If it is good, everything else on it is going to be good. And in this case, we're talking about things that matter the most to us. And for most people, they'll part with people, they'll part with things, but they will have a hard time parting with finances. They have a hard time. Or, if they do, they put it at the back end, if I can. And again, the purpose of this is not to guilt anybody into giving or giving more, but the revelation as we go through is how God blesses and how works in our faithfulness. That's what this is about. How important is it to God, this giving, this thing? And again, we're going to specifically, we'll focus today on first fruits and what that means. But how important is it? More than 2,000 verses in the Bible are concerning money and possessions. 2,000 verses in the Bible, Old and New Testaments, have to do with your money or your possessions and how it affects your life. Compared to, if you think, well, this is nothing. Well, think about this. About 500 are regarding prayer. And 500 are regarding issues of faith. So tell me how important this is to God. Because it will reflect where your heart is. It will reflect where my heart is and how much am I willing to submit before God. Jesus himself spoke about money in 16, or referenced money, 16 out of his 38 parables. 16 out of 38 parables had to do with finances. And again, as a reflection of where your heart is. Now, there's a lot of Christians who like to say that was the old covenant. Because in the new covenant, he doesn't really talk about taxes or tithes. And, you know, and even Jesus takes out the coin and says, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what's God's. And people take it as that's just about faith. Well, there are some things that are principles of God that are everlasting. See, Malachi 3:6 simply says this, for I am the Lord, I do not change. So if God said something over here in the scripture, you really think he's going to backtrack and change his mind over here? Even salvation itself was not changed. He didn't change his mind. He created man for fellowship. Man sinned. He didn't change his mind. He created, did everything he can to restore that fellowship. Even as we talk about the movie Noah and the story of Noah, even in the destruction of this world that was full of sin and corruption, he left a remnant to save it. He's about saving and fellowship in his name and in his presence. So he doesn't change his mind. And there are certain principles that God establishes that are just, they are what they are. They're principles that we stand on. The principle of faith, the principle of love, the principle of worship. There are just certain things. And if you read the Old Testament, you see those things in the New Testament. Jesus does not do away with them. He completes them. He takes them a step further. He said to them, you heard not to commit adultery or not to commit murder. And you say you never did, but if you thought about it, you thought about it, it's in your heart. That's a principle. Those are principles of the heart, matters of the heart. So there are principles we stand on. So what are first fruits? Well, they're also known as the principle of the firstborn, or the actual word tithe. Now, tithe means tenth, and we've come to also understand it in a different way, and we'll talk about that later on. But it's the principle of the firstborn, and we're going to see how this plays out. The first portion of the fruit of each year's harvest that following the biblical injunction was to be taken to the temple in Jerusalem and offered to God. A lot of times we think of first fruits or the principle of the firstborn is you bring your grain, you have a harvest, the first things you pick of the best, you take to God, you give to God, and then you live on the rest. But it's much more than that. The Hebrew word term means bikkurim, B-I-K-K-U-R-I-M, and related terms for first fruits derive from the same root as bekor, B-E-K-H-O-R, which means firstborn. Firstborn. So anything first is the Lord's, is to be offered to the Lord's. Why do you think the firstborn male son is so precious to the Lord in biblical times? Why it was so precious to a family? Because the firstborn in a patriarchal society is the most important. Some principles with this first fruits thing and this first fruit offering is the firstborn of man and beast belong to God, the God of Israel, and were to be devoted to him. That's one thing. Man or beast belong to God first. We'll see, and I'll show you how that plays out. First grains to ripen each season were to be brought and offered to God. But here's another principle that's kind of interesting. There's a blessing and a curse in doing this. There's a blessing and a curse. Where does the blessing come in? And let's define the word blessing. Blessing is having supernatural power working for you. Doesn't mean, as we talk about this, that all of a sudden a treasure chest is going to pop up. The blessing of God is means having the supernatural power of God alongside of you, working with you. You've come alongside what God's already established. It's His blessing. And He basically says, it's yours if you walk with me. So blessing means His supernatural grace, His mercy, His sufficiency. When He says, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider, all that is working in your life. That's His blessing. Now, so if that's the blessing, the curse is having His supernatural power, in a way, go against you. And that doesn't mean He's going to attack you. What He's going to say is, if you're doing this, I can't be a part of it. Therefore, you are left open for the attacks of the enemy. If we are not walking by the principles of God, in the ways of God, in the precepts of God, in the Word of God, what we are doing is taking, literally, we are taking God's hand off of us. And who's going to be our covering? We are now left open for attack. He's no longer covering us and protecting us. And that's a scary place to be. That's what sin does. And remember, sin is simply going against the will of God in your life. That's it. And to repent, which means to turn around, is to finally agree with God and say, let me get back to doing the will that you've called me to do in my life. Let me change my mind. I turn around. So there's a blessing and a curse in the first fruits. And if you don't believe me, read Deuteronomy 28. Read Deuteronomy 28 on your own one time. You'll see about 16 verses that have to do with God's blessing when His children are walking and obeying with Him. But then you'll see over 30 verses that have to do with the curse when you're not walking as you should with the Lord, because you're open for enemy attacks. Read that. It'll open your eyes. So, and blessings also permeate every aspect of our lives. The supernatural power of God, His blessings, His supernatural work in us will impact every element of our lives. When we are lined up with what God has already established, when we come to agree with what God has said, His principles, His ways, His word, when we agree, He moves. And it affects not one area, but every area. Just a couple of examples, Deuteronomy 14:29. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. So when you give your first fruits to the Lord, you give it because the Levite who is ministering in the temple can eat, and the stranger who comes into town can eat. Therefore, because you are feeding, not the act of feeding itself brings forth the blessing, but the act of obedience to offer to God first allows this to happen. So others are blessed, but then He says, I will bless the work of your hands that you will do. So He will bless you. Deuteronomy 15:10. You shall surely give to Him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to Him. Don't be grieved. Don't be all upset when you offer and saying, I don't know where I'm going to get. I don't know how. But rejoice, because He is your provider. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand. He will do this. He will do this. I thank the Lord. And personal testimony, I have never been in as good of a financial condition as I've been now. Not because of anything I have done. The Lord did miracles. But the Lord started doing miracles when, if I get a check, I first thing I do is I look at the gross to see what needs to come out first for the Lord. When we get something we don't get, we don't normally have, first thing we do is, what do we have to give the Lord? What do we owe the Lord? What are we going to offer the Lord? And the Lord is blessing. It's blessing. I mean, we don't have everything, but we don't need everything. God gives us what we need it, when we need it, and when we need something extraordinary, He does something extraordinary to provide. He will bless the work of your hand. My job, be obedient. His job, take care of the blessing. That's it. Deuteronomy 28, verses 8 and 12 say this. The Lord will command, He will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Not just your storehouses, but bless you in the land. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Let me tell you, I used to have to borrow from credit cards and from family. Thank God that now I have, that I can, if the opportunity is there, lend. This is God's blessing doing this, okay? This is God's blessing. So it inhabits everything, everything in our lives. Now, back to first fruits, specifically. Exodus 3:2 says this, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Set apart for me all the firstborn. That's the first fruit. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, what does he say? It is mine, dedicated to me. Give it to me. He declares the firstborn is mine. This is actually declared, that specific statement in one way or another, the firstborn give to me, the firstborn is mine. It's stated in Scripture 16 times. You don't think that's important to God? 16 different times He mentions that in His Word. I share with you that if you read a verse and whoever wrote that specific verse repeats it twice, pay attention to it. It's not an accident that he's repeating himself. Or even three times sometimes in some of Paul's writings. In a matter of a couple of verses, says the same thing in three different ways. When Scripture repeats something that often and emphasizes it, you know it's important to God. Your first is important, which made me think today. Made me think, and I was sharing this with my wife this morning. I shared with you when we started the 21 days of fasting back in January that the Lord brought back to mind something He convicted me of a year ago, that I need to get up at 5:30 and spend time with Him. Get out of bed and spend time with Him. And I started doing that, and the Lord has been changing me in ways I've never been changed. And as I read this, I realized why. Because I am giving Him the first fruits of my day. The first moments of my day. I get up, come downstairs, turn the coffee pot on, and open up the Word. Give Him my first fruits. And it made me think how often David in the Psalms writes, in the morning, I bless the Lord. In the morning, I cry out to the Lord. He was giving Him the first fruit of his day. You don't think that's important to God? You don't think the first of everything we do is important to God? You know, we always talk about we need to get up in the morning and start a day in prayer and in Scripture reading because, you know, we get to put on the armor of God. We fill our mind with the Word of God. We call on the presence of the Spirit of God to come and fill us up and be filled and equipped for the day. And that happens. But this principle of first fruit brings honor to God. That allows that to happen. This is why this is important to God. Just food for thought. Think about how you start your day. In the Old Testament, the fruits were given to the priest after the donor had recited a confession and acknowledging God as the one who redeemed the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage and expressing gratitude to God who brought them into the promised land. So, it was in the Old Testament, this is how it was perceived and it was observed as a memory. But there's a key element here. It's a confession. It's a confession. Recited a confession acknowledging the need for redemption. Keep that in your forefront. So, there are three attributes that we're going to talk about. I'm sorry, four attributes that we're going to talk about regarding this first fruits thing, which again, we're not going to get through all of them today. We'll continue this next week. First one, as we offer our first fruits, we are making a sacrifice or redemption. It's a sacrifice or redemption for something. Exodus 13, 12 to 13 says this, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that the open womb, that is every firstborn that comes from the animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and the firstborn among your sons you shall redeem. What does that mean? Let me explain to you. According to the Old Testament, the firstborn is either sacrificed or redeemed. It's either sacrificed to God or redeemed to God. And what does that mean? Well, it's meant to be sacrificed, but if it is unclean, if the firstborn is unworthy to be sacrificed to God, you had to redeem it with something that is clean, that is worthy, that is a spotless lamb. So he's saying, you know, if a firstborn lamb is pure, you sacrifice it. But the firstborn of a donkey, which was considered at that time unclean, needs to be redeemed by something that is clean. You can't shortchange God. God is a holy God. He requires purity. He requires holiness. So if it is unclean, then you will break its neck, as it says here in Exodus, and the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. You shall do something. You had to redeem it somehow with something that is clean. You can't shortchange God. You can't give God your afterthoughts. You can't. It needs to be redeemed. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11 talks about this, but we're just going to read, you can read the whole thing on your own. I just want to read the first verse and then jump down to 10 through 11. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, then skip into verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger among you. What does that mean? That's God telling them that when you go into the promised land, remember, the first thing you do, you give to me. The first conquer that you take is mine. The first piece of land is mine, consecrated to me. How does that apply to us today? How many of us are bold, if we were to start a new job, to trust God with our very first paycheck and say, Lord, this is the first paycheck of this job. I'm going to give it all to you, Lord. How many of us would trust God with those things? How many of us would be so bold to say, Lord, I just grew a garden in my backyard, and here you go. The first fruits of this garden, they're for you, Lord. I'm not going to put them in my salad tonight. I'm going to give them to you. This is what he's talking about. It's dedicating to God. This is the principle of the firstborn. John, listen to this. John 1:29 says this. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John was baptizing. Who is Jesus? He is, isn't Jesus the firstborn of God? Jesus is the firstborn of God. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus was clean. He was perfect. He was unblemished. He's known as the Paschal Lamb that we're going to celebrate what he did for us in a couple of weeks with Good Friday and Easter. If the firstborn was unclean, it had to be redeemed with a clean animal. We were born into sin. The Bible tells us we were born as sinners. Yet, while we were in sin, God loved us and sent his Son, the firstborn of God, the first fruit of God. Jesus, if we want to use the word tithe, was God's first tithe to us for our redemption of sin. Think about that. Think about the lamb. Think about Israel when they were in Exodus, when they were leaving. Think about what the final plague was. That the firstborn of everyone was to be taken. Unless what? And we'll go into even deeper about this next week. But unless what? You take a pure, spotless, unblemished, firstborn lamb. You take its blood, you sacrifice it, you take its blood. You put on this side of the doorpost. And let me tell you something. When we anoint with oil and when we do stuff like that, we kind of put little fingers. We kind of put little drips. Very rarely do we dump it. But they take the blood and smear it. They take the blood on the other doorpost and they smear it. Then they take the blood to the top of the post and they smear it. And what happens when it drips? And it comes across. What does it make? They let it drip. It makes a cross. The firstborn was to redeem the unclean that was going on in Egypt. The lambs were their redemption, the first fruit sacrifice to God. And what were they supposed to do? Take it, invite their neighbor, share it if they needed to. And then there, with those blood, their firstborn, because they were consecrated to God, were saved. But those that were not consecrated to God died. Their firstborn were taken. Because why? The firstborn is mine, says the Lord. So in a way, God had legal right to them. If God is unchanging, if the firstborn belongs to the Lord, guess what? God has a legal right to you. God has a legal right to your things, to your first fruit. And when you and I, and I'll include me here, keep them from God, what is that doing? Remember the blessing and remember the curse. We walk with the supernatural grace of God when we are obedient, but then the curse is we don't have it on us. We are not covered. We are not covered by the blood of the Lamb. We are not covered in the things that God wants to cover us and protect us and shield us. Christians are constantly in debt. And granted, a lot of things happen. I know that. We're not clumping it into one way. But if you're struggling, you're in debt, you're dealing with things, just simply challenge you. Be obedient to God. Be obedient to God and see what God will do. See what God will do. Because God is faithful. He's asking us to trust Him, to be that faithful. Will we be faithful? And we'll continue this next week. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your word. We thank You that we can offer You the first and the best.